This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and I want to begin this next conversation by listening to a short excerpt from a YouTube video posted by the PBS program Nature.
What starts as a trickle soon becomes a stream. Then grows into a cascade. A spectacle that has rarely been filmed. And our spy is harmlessly in the very heart of it.
What you just heard is the sound of a monarch butterfly swarm, a rare spectacle captured by a tiny little drone camera disguised as a hummingbird, captured in the mountains of Mexico, where certain monarch populations travel each year from the U.S. and southern Canada to spend the winter. But this spectacle might not last forever, and that's because this species might not last forever. Monarch population numbers have declined significantly over the course of the last several decades. Last week, the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, a key authority on the state of biological diversity, added the migratory monarch butterfly to its red list of endangered species. This is the first time the species has been officially declared at risk of extinction. Today, we're speaking with two experts about this development. Anna Walker led the monarch butterfly assessment for the Species Survival Commission Butterfly and Moth Specialist Group at the International Union for the Conservation of Nature. She's also a species survival officer at the New Mexico Biopark Society. Anna, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And David Zaya is a plant ecologist at the Illinois Natural History Survey. His research includes milkweed and monarch population monitoring. David, welcome to the 21st Show to you as well.
Thank you, Brian.
Listeners, in order to make our schedules meet, we tape this conversation in advance, so we're not taking calls for this portion of the show, but you can always let us know what you thought or suggest future topics by emailing us. The address is talk@21stshow.org. That's talk@21stshow.org, or find us on Twitter @21stshow. So, Anna, I want to begin with you. What did the monarch butterfly assessment for the IUCN, the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, what did that entail?
Yeah, so this is a really well-studied insect. Compared to most insects, we do know quite a lot about this species. And so basically, when we start an assessment process, we gather all of the primary literature that's already out there. So in this case, that was almost 100 publications. And then from that point, we look at kind of the biological factors that make species more vulnerable to extinction. So we consider, does it have a restricted distribution? Does it have a small population size or a population decline? And then what are the threats? And from there, we can use the IUCN categories and criteria to sort of predict or prescribe an extinction risk. And so this process was really quite a long one. As I said, so much data, so there was a lot to filter through. We talked to a lot of different experts, including those that are co-authored on the assessment. And then it goes through an IUCN internal review process as well. So certainly a long time coming.
Well, so how much has the population declined? What was it about the monarch butterfly that earned it this, it's almost the wrong way to say it, but put it on this red list?
Yeah, so any population decline of over 50% will make a species vulnerable to extinction, and we consider it endangered at that point. And in this case, the monarch butterfly, we used a couple different population models to get an estimate of what the decline has been, but we calculated that it's been anywhere from 22% to 72% over the last 10 years. And kind of longer term, the population decline has been quite a bit steeper than that, but to scale our population declines for the IUCN Red List, we look at just the last 10 years.
And what are the factors that you have identified that are the primary threats to the migratory monarch butterfly?
Yeah, so unfortunately, there are quite a few different threats acting on this butterfly. We've got habitat loss in the overwintering areas. So as you mentioned, this is a migratory subspecies, and there's both an eastern migratory population and a western migratory population. So from the eastern portions of Canada and the United States, where monarchs will spend the summer, they'll migrate to overwintering sites in central Mexico. And then on the west coast, there's a western migratory portion of this subspecies, and they'll spend the summer spread out across the western United States and overwinter along the coast in California. So in both cases, this butterfly ends up in a really restricted area over the winter. And down in Mexico, there's been long-term threats from logging of the forests and the overwintering sites. That threat has subsided a little bit, but there's still some illegal logging and then tree or forest disease in those overwintering areas. And then in California, the main threat in the winter at the overwintering grounds is things like habitat loss because of development or site mismanagement, as well as increasing drought. And then another major threat to this butterfly is habitat loss in the summer breeding areas. So agricultural intensification, and this is especially since a lot of soybean and corn has been converted to herbicide resistant varieties. And therefore there's a large amount of herbicides spread over large swaths of the monarch summer breeding habitat. So that's certainly a concern. And then lastly, due to climate change, it's likely that we're going to see increasing threats to monarchs, both in their summer breeding areas as well as their overwintering sites.
I was waiting for that last one. I was surprised I hadn't heard it earlier. Okay, David, let me bring you into the conversation now. What does your research indicate about the best conditions for monarch reproduction, and how about those conditions may not be optimal right now in Illinois?
Well, thank you, Brian, for having me. One thing that we are, well, obviously, the biggest key for monarch reproduction is milkweed plants. Their larvae have to grow on milkweeds. They lay their eggs on milkweeds and they grow on them. And as Anna mentioned, milkweeds have been declining in the state. So one thing you need is milkweeds present. One aspect of that is that I've been really interested in is where are those milkweeds most helpful? And, you know, Illinois' landscape is quite varied, and we can add milkweeds to rural areas and urban areas or suburban areas and roadsides and the such. And it does seem like the rural areas are quite key to their conservation. And that's where the milkweeds have been lost. And it's also where there's kind of the most potential for gain. That isn't to say that other habitats aren't useful, but it is trying restoring those rural area milkweeds are key.
So what form does that take? Are we talking about, I mean, I know Illinois does a lot less mowing, you know, next to interstates than it used to, but that's probably a limited amount of acreage statewide. Are we talking about turning over entire, you know, acres of corn and soybeans over to milkweed, or what form are you thinking of here?
The most One thing that makes me feel a bit optimistic is the spread of the Conservation Reserve Program. Not only the spread of it, but kind of how it's shifted in the last 10 years towards plantings. Well, I should mention the CRP, Conservation Reserve Program. It's a USDA program that pays farmers to plant kind of vegetation. Sometimes that's for erosion. Sometimes that's for wildlife. Sometimes it's for water quality, but the quality in terms of the plants present and the wildlife being attracted has really improved. And that means a more diverse planting, more native plants, more things that are attuned towards pollinators, including monarchs and their milkweeds. So that's the part that makes me most optimistic. The Department of Transportation mowing less along interstates, I think, is helpful in many ways, but monarchs don't really like interstates from kind of the data I've seen.
Who does?
Most data I've collected and in the literature.
Not exactly a relaxing place to have your pupae or whatever the phrase is there. Anna, can you talk a little bit about some other efforts to mitigate extinction risk, such as, you know, agricultural pesticides, for example?
Yeah, so like David was saying, luckily there's a lot of really great habitat restoration efforts underway for this species. And I also feel hopeful, like David does, because just in the last few years, we've started to kind of see the population stabilize a little bit. The concern now, however, is that it's stabilizing at a low that if there's, for example, a large winter storm that wipes out a large number of individuals in the overwintering areas, that there might not be enough individuals to recolonize again in the summertime. So while I'm certainly hopeful about a lot of the habitat restoration that's going on, there's a lot more that needs to be done. And protecting the overwintering areas should certainly be a priority. For the eastern migratory population that overwinters in Mexico, they're pretty well protected by the Monarch Butterfly Biosphere Reserve, which was established in 2000 and then became a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 2008. So that's good. That's kind of helped stem some of those losses of overwintering habitat in Mexico. But we need to see something similar in California for the Western migratory population. The Western migratory population is in much more dire of a situation. And currently, the overwintering habitats are not very well protected. So that's certainly something that we could work on.
Just a few minutes left in our conversation. David, I wonder what the potential ripple effects if the monarch population continues to decline, or if it does, in fact, become extinct. What does that mean for the ecosystems of Illinois and elsewhere?
In terms of ecosystems, monarchs could be seen as a kind of a canary in the coal mine. They're such a well-studied insect, and the vast majority of insects don't have a fraction of the studies that monarchs have. So as monarchs decline, I think we can safely assume that many other butterflies and pollinators are also declining. In terms of, you know, outside of ecosystems, it'd be really sad if monarchs left. They are so cool. They are
the state insect, right? Yeah.
Yeah, state insect. And they kind of enrich my life. I think that's true for a lot of people across the state and the region. So that'd be a big loss.
Anna, last question to you, and we only have about 30 seconds remaining, maybe a minute, but what do you hope to see from this declaration, putting the monarchs on the red list at risk of extinction?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to get the monarch on the IUCN red list just because it kind of puts the conservation status into a global context. But beyond that, I really hope that, you know, this kind of renewed push to get people to see that something that they treasure, this butterfly that shows up in their backyards and is seemingly common, might disappear. And I really hope that people will take that message to heart and continue some of the great work that's already been done, again, with habitat restoration and advocacy and communication and education.
Anna Walker led the monarch butterfly assessment at the IUCN Species Survival Commission Butterfly and Moth Specialist Group. Anna Walker, thank you so much for being with us on the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
And David Zaya is a plant ecologist at the Illinois Natural History Survey. David, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you, Brian.
And that's all the time we have for our show today. You can contact us again. Our email address is talk@21stshow.org. We're on Twitter @21stshow. You can find that. Every other way to contact us, leave us a voicemail, send us a text message. It's all on our website, 21stshow.org. And while you're there, you can subscribe to our podcast. We're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just search for The 21st. The 21st Show is produced by Jose Cepeda, Christine Hatfield, and Aidan Choate. Our intern is Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thank you to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.